The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. The full recording of this and all episodes of Sioux Valley Voice is available online at ktna.org. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna. I'm Philip Manning, and this is Sioux Valley Voice. The Matsu Borough elections are next Tuesday, and today we're wrapping up my series of discussions with the candidates running to represent you in Palmer. I have invited all three mayoral candidates today, and currently I have with me in the studio Vern Halter, on the line Rosemary Vavrin, and I see Mayor DeVilbiss walking in the building right now. But for the moment, Vern, Rosemary, thank you for joining me.
I'm glad to be here. Good morning, Philip.
So we'll be talking about various issues facing the borough right now, as well as taking your calls. If you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200, 733-1200. So to get us started, some of these questions will be familiar. Of course, each of the candidates has been on Sioux Valley Voice individually. Now we've got them all together. So just to recap some of the things about the candidates themselves, Rosemary, we'll start with you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay. Well, I've lived in Alaska about 30 years. I've lived in the Valley in Matsu Borough about 4 years. I've got an education background. I used to teach high school first-year French, world history, American history. I've also had a media background. I used to work for the Anchorage Times, and I worked at the Fairbanks North Star Borough Library. I was the first satellite radio coordinator. And but basically my background is education in the media. I've done some writing. I had a major award from the Alaska Press Club. But anyway, I've had a lot of wonderful experiences, and now I feel it's time for me to give back. And so I signed up to run for mayor as an opportunity for me to give back. The title of mayor is basically an honorary title with some responsibilities, and so I see it as an opportunity for me to be a cheerleader for the Matsu Borough. So I decided to jump into the race so I can do something for the borough, because I absolutely love living out here.
Okay. Thank you, Rosemary. Vern Halter.
Good morning, Sioux Valley. It's really nice to be here up in Talkeetna, having a chance to talk to you just before the election. You know, I don't know if everybody really realizes my total feelings for the uppers who sit in the valley. I guess it goes back a long ways. You know, I first came here, the first person I met in Talkeetna was Roberta Sheldon. She let me put, I think it was 5 tons, 10,000 pounds of dog meat in what we call a hangar over here now and stored it. Her brother, Dick Reeve, referred me to his sister, Roberta, of course, I was out in Dutch Harbor as a judge. Roberta helped me a lot, and then I went over to Trapper Creek and stayed with Joe May, my first winner, and I'm sure Joe's just across the river here 3-4 miles. Hope he's listening in, so say good morning. So that was my first introduction, and coming up here as a dog musher. I retired from being a judge, and then Susan and I lived in Trapper Creek, had our own place over there for, I think it was 28 years, and so the Upper Valley is my second home. I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, I also had a home in Sutton. I was a public defender attorney in Palmer, so I lived in Sutton area for many years, too. Of course, we have our place in Willow now. And so I just want to say good morning to Chase and to Trapper Creek and out towards Squetton and down Susitna and Caswell area. It's really a privilege for me to be here.
All right. Thank you. And Mayor DeVilbiss.
Yeah, good morning. I kind of cut it close getting in here, but wanted to be careful on that road. My name's Larry DeVilbiss. I'm the current mayor, and I'd first of all like to thank the borough residents and the electorate that put me in place 3 years ago. I have no claims for close roots here in Talkeetna, but I've enjoyed getting to know the issues and the people in Talkeetna and Trapper Creek. I've spent more time attending community council meetings, chamber meetings, and I've been personally supporting the Northern Institute, Make a Plain, and some of the programs up here. There's a level of entrepreneurship that's unequaled anywhere else in the borough that I've enjoyed getting exposed to. Some people don't know, I'm part of a four generations family that have been up here since the 50s, and I grew up in a children's home on Lazy Mountain that included many of the Denina families, from some of which were from Talkeet. Now you'll recognize Shaganoffs. And I'm still close to some of the Shaganoff boys. But little did I know in the mid-50s that I was living and interacting with the last generation that was really active in the language, the Denina language. That's something that we've virtually seen pass away. But that's, that's my connections and I guess I'll learn how this is going to roll out as we go, because I wasn't briefed on.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So basically what we're going to do is I've got a number of issues that I'd like to discuss, and each of the candidates will have an opportunity to discuss it. I'm not going to do any strict timekeeping. I don't think that's going to necessarily be, well, necessary. And we're also going to be taking calls. And the number, if you want to call in, is 733-1200, 733-1200. So I will get started, and you know, one of the big issues statewide right now is state revenue, and there seems to be pretty much unanimous agreement on the current assembly, as well as with people around the borough in general, about the Port McKenzie rail spur and the importance of the Port McKenzie rail spur. You've both spoken about the importance of the Port McKenzie rail spur, and Ms. Vavrin, I believe we spoke about it when you were on the show earlier as well. What happens if the state, with the fiscal situation that the state finds itself in right now, how do you, as mayor, help make sure that the state continues to fund it? And this one will start with Vern Halter.
Well, it is our number one product or project. We're trying to. It's a project that's ongoing. First of all, we've started it. We've got a lot of millions and millions of dollars into various segments building the railroad spur line. So it's going down to our port. The port's critical because all of our product going out of the state of Alaska and down through the Mat-Su Valley, leaving the port, and then incoming product is through the port. And so having the commercial rail spur from Houston down to the port is a big deal. And so we have a segment being built right now, segment 5. We need funding to complete the project. And so this is our number one priority that we sent. We just recently sent a letter to the governor, Bill Walker, and we had 4 or 5 priorities on that. But the number one was really the rail spur, and not to diminish the other 3 or 4 priorities. And the reason we sent that to the governor, because he puts out the budget and presents the budget to the legislature. So we have to get that project finished, and we have to sell it to the governor and to our legislature that even in times of lean times, this is a priority project that we need to move forward with.
Okay. Mayor DeVilbiss.
Yes. This is a project that 3 years ago we had not yet turned dirt on. We had built the loop out at the port, but the project that was permitted, the extension, was still waiting for permits, but it was shortly thereafter that we got the permits in place, and there was some hold up on lawsuits. But Assemblymember Halter's right in stating that we are completing segment 5 right now. Segment 6 is done, actually has the rail, the ballast on it, and they're using that. It's where it wires into the segment there at Houston. And segment 4 is done, segment one is done, and the big missing piece, and segment three, the big missing piece is segment two that goes through the Ag Project. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, the three mayors and myself sat down with Governor Walker and discussed our options moving forward. He's very supportive. He realizes that without the rail, the development at the port and the delivery of liquid natural gas to the interior is not as feasible, and nor is the construction of the gas line when and if that happens. So we are actively discussing. I believe right now the plan is to present to the legislature a request for a TIFIA loan from the federal government, and that's the track we're on right now.
Okay. Thank you. And Ms. Vavrin, how would you help ensure that the Port McKenzie rail spur, do you believe it's necessary? And then if so, how would you make sure that it gets done?
Oh, I do believe it's necessary. I'm a big supporter, big promoter of all means of transportation. We live in the year 2015 now, which is in the second half of 2015. We need a lot more means of transportation. As far as the details of the rail spur and transit and transportation and roads, since I'm new to this, I'm not up on all the details, but I am a big supporter, and I, like many people, wonder what has taken so long to get these projects off the ground. And it's very interesting because today this is the first that I've heard about this letter to the governor, and I applaud it. I applaud, but who knows what kind of noise that would make. I'm a big supporter of more means of transportation coming to and from the valley, and I applaud contact with the governor to make sure that everything stays on track, and maybe we could even speed the process up.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Vavrin. you know, the gas line got brought up in the Mayor DeVilbiss. You brought up the gas line in the last in your answer to the last question, and that's obviously one of the state's big priorities right now. Recently, the property tax schemes and some of the ways that the state is going to receive revenue from that were discussed. It's still in the very early stages, but as mayor, what would be, since the pipeline as currently planned would run through a significant portion of the Mattsu Valley, including Trapper Creek and then out west of Willow, as mayor, what would be your plan to approach the state government and the producers in order to make sure that there's benefit to the people of the valley? And Mayor DeVilbiss, we'll start with you on this one.
Okay. I'm currently on the governor's advisory gas board, and so I'm very much plugged into this. They tell us that 21% of the total length of the gas line goes through the borough, so the impact of that is pretty big on a project that size. I have preferred and putting as a first priority the development of the AKLNG project, which aligns the producers and the state and the production on the North Slope side and the marketing out of Nikiski. We're aligned all the way through, and that would give us a product that we can get revenue from, and it would be in, as it's currently being set up, it would be a payment in lieu of taxes. But rather than taxing the pipeline, we're going to be receiving a percentage of the throughput on the gas line. And so I have been somewhat criticized because I really think things get out of whack when the state becomes the owner and the producer of that gas line. We've just seen too many of those projects that didn't work very good.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss. Ms. Vavrin, same question regarding making sure that the planned gas pipeline would benefit the Mattsu Borough.
Well, I certainly hope it does. As far as the details of the gas pipeline, all I can say is I'm definitely in favor of it, but I do not know the details. So on this question, I'm going to just pass the mic to Vern.
Okay. Well, Mr. Halter.
Yeah, the gas pipeline project, you know, that is our future. You know, this is really what I'm talking, we're really worried about. The route does go through the borough, 200 miles, the mayor said, a certain percentage. And, you know, payment in lieu of taxes means we can't, the borough can't tax property and can't tax a pipeline going through us. So, you know, I'm really worried that the Kenai Borough and the North Slope Borough, they're the ones that are going to come out with the majority of this payment in lieu of taxes, and we might get left cold. So that's a huge issue for me. And the route, you know, you're cutting west of the Big Sioux, almost straight down the Nikiski, and we needed a route east of the Big Sioux more favorable to us and our port. And yes, everybody's saying that they'll do a drop line or a smaller, you know, but that's millions and millions of dollars extra, and whether or not that's going to be in the initial project or anything like that. So we've really got some huge issues and our work cut out for us to make sure that we don't get left out in the cold in that. I realize Cook Inlet gas, you know, there's been a lot more Cook Inlet gas, and our port stands to benefit from that. We have two new leaseholders that are putting plants out there and are going to work there, and that'll be a huge addition to us and might offset some of our residential property taxes with commercial taxation, and so that's a good thing. But this LNG project coming down through is we need to work with our delegation. We need to keep the route east of the Big Sioux if we can. It may have already been decided, but that payment in lieu of taxes, if it's going to go to the North Slope Borough into the Kenai Borough and we get kind of left out in the cold, that's something that I want to watch like a hawk. And we are in a partnership with the, it's not us that owns the pipeline, it's we would have a partnership rating with the oil companies, and I guess they throw around the number 25% or something would be our stake in it. But you also remember, for that 25% that we put into it, we would get product back out of it, which could go to our leaseholders and our people that are developing plants down there at the port. And, of course, that is another huge issue. So,
okay. Thank you, Assemblymember Halter. You are listening to Sioux Valley Voice on KTNA Talkeetna. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask a question of the mayoral candidates, Rosemary Vavrin, Larry DeVilbiss, and Vern Halter. The number to call, 733-1200, and we will get you put into the queue. Moving on, let's talk a little bit about schools. One of the biggest chunk of the Mat-Sioux Borough's budget is local contribution to schools at this point by a pretty significant margin. Currently, there is a lawsuit in progress that is, well, the outcome is not quite certain, but it seems to be going fairly well at this point for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough regarding requirements for local contribution to schools. Currently, organized boroughs do have to pay a certain portion of school costs. If that lawsuit succeeds and that requirement is changed or gotten rid of, what should the Mat-Sioux Borough do, given that it is fairly lean fiscal times? And I believe, Ms. Vavrin, it is time to start with you on this one.
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm a big supporter of schools. I used to teach high school. And I'm aware we need to build more schools because there's lots of young families moving to the Mat-Sioux Borough and all the towns and outlying areas. As far as the details of this Ketchikan situation, this is the first I've heard of it. Probably the two gentlemen who are with you know more about it than I do. If it turns out there's going to be a monetary problem, I hope that it's dealt with in a timely manner, that is, as fast as possible, and it doesn't dilly-dally as much as some of the transportation projects have just dragged on. So as far as the details, I don't know, but yes, I think we need to make plans for the future, and we need to do it ASAP.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Vavrin. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, that Ketchikan borough suit, they're actually partnered with the Fairbanks North Star Borough. They won at the Superior Court level. The issue was whether or not the state could force the boroughs and municipalities to pay a share of education,
right,
along with the state's share. And the reason, it's kind of an equal protection argument, and the reason is that someplace like Glen Ellen, the state pays everything. And so,
because, you know, it's an unorganized borough.
Exactly. So so the Supreme Court has that case on at its level now, and so they'll make a decision, either uphold Ketchikan or remand it or reverse it. That's their authority. So it's a, you know, as far as our borough, Mat-Sioux Borough, sitting on there. We're talking about education is the number one priority, and our mill rate, if the mill rate's 9.5, probably 6 to 6.2, 6.2, 6.3, 6.4 might be going to schools, and that's a good thing. That's our share of provided education for the youth. We have a growing school district. We had 661 new students as of October added to our school system. It kind of surprised everybody because they were projecting, the school board and school staff was projecting 375. We built Joe Reddington Senior High School to hold 700 students. So here all of a sudden we've got 600 new ones. So we've got to stop overcrowding. We got to keep our schools moving. We are lucky. We opened 5 new schools with our school bonds, 2011, $214 million. But the real issue, the real question, I guess, was asked was, what effect would the Ketchikan Borough suit have on us
right.
if the Supreme Court agreed with the lower court, Superior Court? Voluntarily, I guess you could act voluntarily as a borough to still support the school system. I believe our borough attorney, the mayor could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe our borough attorney said that would be totally acceptable, that we could still finance voluntarily our share of the school system like we have in the past, and that would probably be my position.
Okay. Mayor DeVilbiss.
Okay, I have some history on this because when Ketchikan and Fairbanks got together, they invited us to be part of that lawsuit. I studied that, and as did Anchorage, and I didn't see how we would win, however that came out, because the local contribution is set by state statute, and what the Ketchikan lawsuit's trying to do is to take away that local contribution. And if that happens, we're all going to lose. And including Bush, Alaska, because they're going to have the same funding source, but it's going to be spread equally across all the school districts. And as far as our being able to contribute over and above that, that is restricted by law. By federal law, school districts are supposed to be equally funded, so there's limits to what we can put in there. Personally, though, I am very upbeat about our school district. It's very resilient. It is the most innovative school district that I've ever been involved in, and I was on the school board for 2 terms, and at one point we were being challenged by the home school concept that got ahead of steam under IDEA out of the Galena school district. Well, rather than fight that, we mirrored it and matched it, and 30% of our current growth in the school district is from homeschoolers that are coming into our largest school, which is the homeschool program, the central program. It's over 1,000 students. We've got the biggest in the whole state of voc ed training that's now not just departments in existing schools, but we have a brick and mortar that's totally dedicated to voc ed training under career and technical, and that is expanding all the time. So, I don't know how we'll feel our way through this, but I'm extremely confident in the leadership that we have and the groundwork we've done on the Matsu schools.
Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss. One of the things that Assemblymember Halter, you touched on, was the growth of the student population in the school district. And, of course, it's a well-known fact that the borough in general is experiencing significant population growth throughout the borough here in the Upper Valley as well. And, we've talked in the past, I think each of us has talked in the past about, how the economic future of the borough is going to shake out and how business development, things like that. What I want to ask about this time is how the borough will cope with the need for enhanced and increased infrastructure with an ever-increasing population. And I understand there's a major role for the state there when you talk about things like the Glenn Highway, which is, you know, traffic on the Glenn Highway is notorious at this point. But the borough, I think, it also has a role there as well. So Assemblymember Halter, I believe this is your turn to start.
Well, yeah, funding infrastructure in a fiscally tough climate is really the key to it. You know, school-wise, I think, you know, because of the 2011 school bond, you know, we built all these new schools, and actually there was a lot of work on heating systems and electrical systems and cooling systems, and roofs were built. The sports fields, all of the major high school sports fields were refurbished so that they could hold sports as that bond. So we're really kind of lucky that happened at the time it did because of the moratorium on further bonding, you know, matching by the state.
That's true. I didn't mention that there is a 5-year moratorium.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a real interesting thing that we have to deal with now. As far as Upper Susitna Valley, you know, really our growth in tourism up here is something we have to look at. We have to look at what we could do here in Talkeetna to partner with, like, the larger tourist companies, to how to solve the bathroom problems, how to provide everybody's, you know, we know the Talkeetna Sewer and Water, how, you know, it's functioning very well right now. I saw a report come by the Talkeetna Community Council, and functioning very well. It's functioning at a level that it can handle basically a minimum level, really. Mm. And so any type of growth here in Talkeetna, we got to worry about, and how to handle that issue with the borough, because it is a service area. And so it has a distinct legal entity. That's another thing. But it is on the ballot now to the flood control area to combine those two. So, you know, the climate down in Juneau is something that this legislature and the governor of the state of Alaska, I think it's one of the biggest crucial moments in the state's history, is to try to figure out how we're going to have the revenue needed to meet our needs. You can't take schools and just say, well, we can't do much with them in a gross situation and scenario. You can't just let people sit in traffic jams down in Wasilla and Palmer, which is happening right now. You can't leave KGB Road, which is a death trap. I mean, it is a death trap, 10, 12 deaths every decade, and Parks Highway leaving Wasilla, same thing. You have to move those projects forward, even in a tight fiscal era. So that takes leadership. I really relish the opportunity to work with our delegation down in Juneau and try to meet some of these issues head on, try to figure out, you know, you have to make cuts, you have to be frugal in your government budgeting, you have to at the same time try to figure out how are we going to shore up our revenue so we can meet our obligations to the people in the state of Alaska, and especially the Mat-Su Borough.
Okay.
And
all right. Thank you, Assemblymember Halter. Mayor DeVilbiss. Infrastructure.
Yes. Well, we have enjoyed, and I would like to acknowledge the cooperation that we've had from our delegation in Juneau. 75% of our $215 million school project that we're just at the end of building out right now, that was matched 75%, and most of the road projects that we're finishing right now were 50% matches. We've pretty much been told to not expect that in the future, and so it's going to take some innovation. Fortunately, some of these bigger roads that Vern referred to, the Parks Highway and the Connect Goose Bay Road, are state roads mm-hmm. that qualify for federal interstate money, and so eventually those will get prioritized through the state, and our delegation will be very much involved in that. I'm not too concerned about those. I am concerned, though, that the state is wanting to shed all but that interstate level of roads, and this is going to put new pressures on our road service areas. We were successful at keeping the Talkeetna Road Service Area from having to take the burden for the maintenance on the Seward Meridian upgrade. The state, and that's a long story that I probably shouldn't get into right now, but the long and the short of it was that Talkeetna was ending up subsidizing our most lucrative road service area so that the Seward Meridian would be maintained. We got that fixed, But that's an ongoing issue that that we're going to have to work through. And I anticipate on major roads and schools moving forward, rather than doing it through bonded indebtedness, I would like to propose that we do it like the Wasilla did with the library right now and the Menard Sports Center. Mm-hmm. Put a mill rate forward to be dedicated for specific projects that are voter approved, and then that sunsets when those projects are done.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss. Ms. Vavrin, expanding infrastructure need in the borough.
Yes. When you say infrastructure, I go back to your very first question regarding aspects of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
As more and more people come to the Mat-Su Borough, particularly the Willow, between Willow and Talkeetna Trapper Creek, we need more transportation services. This is where transit comes in. This past summer, Sunshine Transit there in Talkeetna expanded their services coming all the way to the Wasilla area. And they started out 2 days a week, and now they were doing it 5 days a week, at least for the summer. I'm not sure what the decision is yet for the winter. It was a tremendous service, and I hope they continue that, because that people use that service so they can get back and forth. We need more ways for people to get around. We definitely need schools for the future. We need more medical services, but people need to get to all these wonderful services, and that's where various aspects of transportation come in. Many people know me for speaking up for transit, but I'm for all manner of transportation, but transit is the number one. More and more people are moving to this area. We need more ways for them to get around. And one way to cut down on expenses for road maintenance, and building new roads is a support for transit for various aspects, not only just in the Wasilla-Palmer area, but also going Willow, Big Lake, Houston, Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, and all points in between, as well as on the west side, Sutton and Chickaloon. And when people come to the Wasilla-Palmer area, they can take what's commonly called a commuter bus, the Valley Mover, going to and from Anchorage. All the buses only operate Monday through Friday, so we also need weekend service starting with Saturday and then expanding to Sunday. So if it be infrastructure says people need to get around and they need to have a way to get around, not all families have several cars, so all family members can go when they want to. Many families only have one car or one old car, so this is where transit comes in. But I'm a big supporter of all kinds of transportation. Let's work on it.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Vavrin. And we are actually a little bit late for our bottom of the hour break. We do have a caller on the line. Caller, we will get to you as soon as we come back from the break, but we are going to take a time out here for just a second. You are listening to Sioux Valley Voice on KTNA 88.9 FM, Talkeetna. Thank you. And welcome back to the second half of Sioux Valley Voice. My guests today are the three candidates for Mat-Su Borough Mayor, incumbent Mayor Larry DeVilbiss, Assemblymember Vern Halter, and Rosemary Vavrin. We do have a caller on the line, and I promised to get to you as soon as we got back. And we are indeed back. Mayor DeVilbiss, well, we'll take the question first. We have Andy from Talkeetna. Are you there?
I am. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning to the mayoral candidates. And my question is in regards to bed tax revenue. I am a lodge owner here in Talkeetna with a growing business, and we generate a lot of bed tax revenue from the Upper Valley with the big lodges we have and the 20-plus smaller lodges we have in the area. And my question is, in difficult fiscal times when we're looking for ways to generate revenue, is there any thought, or what would your thoughts be? Our bed tax rate here at 5% is much lower than a lot of the areas, other tourist areas in the state. And is that something that could help us to increase revenue for the borough by looking at a possible increase in that bed tax rate?
Okay, thank you for the question, Andy. And then Mayor DeVilbiss, I believe it is your turn to answer first. So increasing bed tax for a revenue stream.
Right. That is a tax that was actually initiated by the Mat-Su Convention and Visitors Bureau. And one of the few taxes that I actually thought was a great idea was an industry that wanted to tax itself in order to be able to advertise and bring more business. And probably my position would be to follow the lead on the Convention and Visitors Bureau if that tax wanted to be raised, because that's the business segment that would be directly impacted by that. I will tell you, though, that if Talkeetna wanted a bigger piece of that, which I hear a lot about, and I understand it, because a huge percentage of our bed tax comes from this area. The way to do that is for Talkeetna to incorporate. They would then be able to keep the percentage of bed tax they want to put on that. And that's really the way to control your destiny on that.
Okay. Ms. Vavrin, same question regarding the potential for increasing bed tax as a borough revenue stream.
Okay, when you asked the question, I thought of two key things. First of all, I don't want to discourage anybody from visiting our state, or even for Alaskans, for visiting other parts of the state. So I'm not too much in favor of raising taxes, but I do agree with Mayor Larry DeVilbiss that to follow the lead of the Mat-Su Convention and Visitors Bureau, because they're the ones who started that. So when I'm mayor, if this comes up again, my suggestion is let's follow the advice of what the Mat-Su Convention and Visitors Bureau says.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Vavrin. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I guess that is good advice. But before I go any farther, something I should have did earlier, I want to wish Philip Manning happy birthday today. It's the voice of Talkeetna. Yeah. So anybody that wants to call in, wish him happy birthday, please do so. So
wait till 11 o'clock, though.
Wait till 11 o'clock. Okay.
I got more questions for y'all.
But, yeah, I'm trying to use up time, aren't I?
So, yeah.
No, not really. Really, on that issue, the tax raise, if there is one, you know, Anchorage, I think, is at 12%. It went from 8 to 12 to build the Dena'ina Convention Center in Anchorage. They used a individual project as momentum to raise it. It should come from inside the MSCVB. They have a board of directors, staff, and I guess they're monitoring all of their dues-paying members, and I used to be on the board of the Mat-Su CVB, very proud of that, and so if that were to come down the pike and they felt like they needed more revenue, right now it's a 65-35% split. 65% of the revenue is coming in off the bed tax goes to the CVB for operations and marketing and things like that. 35% is left over to try to do tourist-related projects, you know, but that, you know, $300,000-$400,000 doesn't go very far when you, you know, a double vault toilet is like $65,000 to $85,000, you know, to put in. And, you know, the tourist study, the McDowell study a few years ago said if there's one thing the Mat-Su Borough and even the state of Alaska is missing is the infrastructure, like just in something simple, wash and toilet facilities along your highways, the Parks Highway, the Glen Highway, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you start trying to take a little bit of money and try to go a long ways with it, it causes hard feelings. And so those are tough decisions where that money's going to be used.
Mm. Okay. So, I did get an email question as well. If anybody else wants to call in with a question, the number is 733-1200. We've got about 20 minutes left, so plenty of time if anybody else wants to add a question. I do have a question that's come in via email, and it involves another infrastructure question specific to Talkeetna, which is the Talkeetna Sewer and Water System. And I'm going to paraphrase this one a little bit. So with recent reports revealing that the Talkeetna Sewer Lagoon has been out of compliance on fecal coliform for 8 of the last 16 months. Is it your position that Talkeetna needs to incorporate to solve this problem, or will the borough take action regarding this potential health crisis? And then there's another follow-on question there. And I believe, Ms. Vavrin, it is your turn to answer first. So the Talkeetna Sewer and Water System, should Talkeetna incorporate to take care of it, or is there something the borough can do?
16 months is too long, is way too long. It's a health hazard. Whatever is the quickest way to solve this problem, I think should be done. If it's incorporation, if that can be done quickly, if the borough administration can do something about it, or if there's another option, whatever works quickest, because I'm a big supporter of public safety and health, and this is a health issue.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Vavrin. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, first of all, I just saw an email come through the other day from the chairwoman of the Talkeetna Community Council that had addressed a little bit of that fecal situation and some of their research and look at it. And I think it's backed up by the Mat-Su Borough, the Public Works Department, Terry Dolan. It's not as serious a situation as people might think. In fact, they found no evidence of that at all. Now, whether or not the lagoon needs major capital work and things like that in the future, I don't dispute that. Or whether or not the Talkeetna Sewer and Water System needs capital work and maintenance, I don't dispute that. But I would seriously check into whether or not that situation is defined as badly as it's made out to be in this email. And so that's, I would probably ask Terry Dolan, Public Works, to give us the assembly a full report on right. that and respond appropriately. We probably need to try to get the Talkeetna Sewer and Water local board reappointed. Active people on that board, I think, would be really important. Again, it's kind of fallen down there, and we need to do that. The whole system is one of these things where you have 188 users, 190 someplace in that, trying to pay mm-hmm. the fees to run that system is the service area. You can't use bed tax. We were ruled against that by the borough attorney. The service areas have this funky legal standing, and we did get $100,000 from the state of Alaska to do a study on what we should do with the rate structure, and they right down the board said you have to raise rates incrementally for 5 years to try mm-hmm. to go from red to black ink. I think it's quite frustrating for everybody. I do not believe this Talkeetna needs to incorporate at all to do that, to answer these questions. We just need a good partnership, a better partnership with the borough, and we need to get capital money coming down to try to solve some of those tougher issues.
Okay. I guess I can speak to what they're talking about with the 8 of the last 16 months, because that was my report they're referencing there. And it's fairly recent, which is why...
Did I insult you enough?
No. It's fine. It was just in the last few days that ADEC issued a notice of violation. Okay. And so that may have post-dated the correspondence you're referring to.
Which is probably 3, 4, 5 days old.
Okay. So, yeah, this was fairly recent. Mayor DeVilbiss, Talkeetna Sewer and Water, I guess the main question is, can the borough do something to help, or should Talkeetna incorporate?
Well, we are aware that there's a current immediate situation that seems to point to some problem. We're not sure exactly where it is. DEC... is in it, and it's my understanding that EPA has initiated a criminal investigation. We suspect that that there's some outside vectors, either other septic systems or somebody dumping stuff where they shouldn't be, because there's stuff where it shouldn't be, and it's hard to believe it could be coming from our system.
That was what the report I received.
Okay,
was.
Okay. I think what's happened here is there's two separate issues going on. The issue that both of you are referencing, I think, is a separate issue beyond the monthly normal testing.
Right. Okay.
And I think that's where the confusion came from. Okay. I meant to bring up Talkeetna and sewer and water anyway, so I'm glad it happened.
On your birthday, too.
On my birthday, yeah. another topic that is a high priority for everyone, in your own words, is emergency services. Right now, of course, there was a little bit of a disagreement here locally between some of the local firefighters and administration as far as Director Gamble of Emergency Services. It seems like maybe that's starting to work itself out, and I know for a fact that the local responders are responding again, but with the fairly recent shakeup at the top in emergency services, the low retention rates, the low recruitment rates, as mayor, what would you do to make sure that the emergency services are adequately staffed and funded borough-wide? And Mr. Halter, I believe it is your turn to start.
Well, first of all, I think that communication between the service areas and the ambulance and the fire service areas and the road service areas, we could always be working on that. We do have Director Gamble and his second in command, Assistant Director Barkley, who I are professionals, and I trust that they could get with the locals. We had a huge blow-up a few weeks ago. You know, I know a lot of the parties personally, you know, who they are, and you know, I was really happy that the borough, the command structure, was able to get with the parties. They sat down, had a moderator, Mr. Dearman helped moderate it, and get the parties talking. They seem like they've worked it out. There's probably, you know, it's always that rural versus core area divide that we've seen so many times in the borough. Like, we have different lifestyles and we have different looks out and how we take things. And so I think we have to be, from a staff position, I think we have to be sensitive to that, to the local needs and how they look at things. They are a lot of times volunteers. They're going out on a crucial mission. So you know you have to have procedure and things like that have to be protocol. You know, when you're doing ambulance work and you're doing collisions and car accidents and movement of cars and things like that, fires, of course, we want quick, reliable response. We want to get water on these fires as quick as possible, humanly possible, considering, you know, we're a ways away from the fires in these local areas. So I just think in this situation, it was a really good thing to see that the borough staff, the command structure, was able to stand down to a certain extent and say, hey, look, we want to come up and listen to you and listen to the grievances. And because basically everybody said, well, we're quitting. We're done. And so I was very proud of both sides for standing down a little bit and starting to talk. And now they seem like they're back on board. And, of course, we could do more at that level.
Okay. Mayor DeVilbiss, Emergency Services.
Yes, that has taken a good bit of my time in the last couple of weeks. Not that the mayor is directly involved, but this is true of just about every issue in the borough. For some reason, the mayor's office is the complaint department.
Well, your phone number is published on the borough website.
I realize that.
It's kind of like giving out the cell phone number.
Campaign. But and some of this stuff gets into HR stuff that is not appropriate to talk about here, so I'm not going to go into that. But as borough mayor, I had been coming up here not on a regular basis, but infrequently to sit in on the fire service supervisors board, and there were always vacancies there. And I think in every case but one, those meetings were canceled because there wasn't a quorum.
I believe that board's been defunct for a number of years.
It had been defunct. Well, I accelerated the nomination, and at the last regular assembly meeting, the assembly approved Larry Dearman to be on that board, and he's taken a very active role in mediating and working with both the personnel and the administration to try to come to some common ground. We moved another person to that board, and I think we'll have a full board here very soon. But that, to me, that's what makes these local things work, when you've got people that are plugged in and concerned and willing to wade into it.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss. Ms. Vavrin, same question.
Right. I think everybody who lives in the Mat-Su Borough, whether they're in a town or in the rural areas, I think everybody needs to feel confident that if they have an emergency of any kind, that the emergency services will come out and help them. Everyone needs to feel confident. I think a lot of people in the borough are not aware of a lot of this behind-the-scenes stuff, and I want to express my appreciation to the information that I've just learned, and I think a lot of people have learned from our current mayor, Larry DeVilbiss, and Assemblyman Vern Halter, in talking about some of the background. We need a lot more communication, and we need a lot more sharing of information. That's how problems get solved, because the bottom line is everyone needs to feel confident if they have a problem, an emergency, whatever it may be, that help will come.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Vavrin. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show, so potentially still time if somebody wants to call in, 733-1200. However, I do have another question, and that is regarding the mayoral veto. As I believe Ms. Vavrin brought up, the Mat-Su Borough mayor, it's a weak mayoral system, but one of the powers that the borough mayor does have is veto power over ordinances as well as the budget, including line item veto power. Mayor DeVilbiss, you have not been shy about using the veto pen. In fact, I believe one of your campaign ads says that people should vote for you to keep the veto pen alive. So I've seen that. So we'll start with you on this one. What is your philosophy on the use of the mayoral veto, and how would you use it if you were reelected?
Right. I don't see much that would change if I'm reelected. And a lot depends on what kind of an assembly I've got, because to me, the veto is as much about extending the debate as it is about actually accomplishing a veto. And I've been criticized to some degree because I've issued a veto on unanimous decisions. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is what happens at the mayor's office the day after an assembly meeting, and you find out that there was a segment of the people that were directly impacted by a piece of legislation that didn't realize, because of the title on the legislation or for some reason, that they were impacted. And so, in some cases, my veto is to extend the debate. But for the most part, my veto is sensitive to the impact on the local tax bill, and that's what I'm most sensitive to. And that would not go away.
All right. Ms. Vavrin, same question. How would you use the veto pen if elected?
I would probably be very hesitant to use it too often. I would try to do my homework ahead of time so that it would be obvious how I stood. And because I know that if the mayor vetoes something, then the assembly can come back and override it, and it just takes up more time and more taxpayers' money. So I would probably be quite reticent to use it, but when there were times I feel strongly about something, I would use it.
Okay, thank you. Assemblymember Halter, veto pen.
Well, I don't question the power or the authority or the right to veto. That's part of our system of government, and we need to honor that. I do question certain vetoes. I've always been, we've probably had an active, fairly talk about vetoes at several of the debates, and so I question some of them quite immensely. I believe, like you should be up front and in the discussion the mayor should about when it's in front of the assembly at that time and get your input so the assembly members could listen to what the mayor is saying and form a better decision at that point in time. Waiting till legislation's passed, say it's 7-0, and then saying, well, somebody called in and told me, hey, you know, we don't like this, and then veto it, I don't agree with that kind of concept at all. There's various reasons for vetoes. This year in the 2016 budget, we had 7 vetoes issued. 2 assembly members, Steve Culligan and Ron Arvin, moved to consolidate 6 out of the 7. There was really no debate, and they were overridden 7-0. So really, there was no effect on the mill rate. I guess that's what I question is. None whatsoever. And I think over the history of the last 6-7 years, you know, 90% of them were overridden. So that's not the issue. You know, where the money goes, like some of the vetoes this time was to Wasilla Library and Palmer Library, our partners, not much money. I'm all for that. We have borough residents using those libraries in and out, just like the city folks are, city people are down there. SART was a huge mistake, I thought, on the veto. It was overridden 7-0. That was money that was going from the borough direct grant money to the city of Wasilla and the state troopers to collect rape evidence from women victims in our own local hospital in the valley. Before that, they'd be transported into Anchorage, which is pretty demeaning. The biggest veto, I guess, I in the last few years that I really question is vetoing the 2011 road bonds. And the mayor does, you know, I respect Mayor DeVilbiss, and I want to say that looking at him right now. He had a trails were part of it, but really that was a very small part of that road bonds. And if we hadn't overridden his veto that night, it would not have been able to have been on the ballot in October. And, of course, we're talking about Vine Road. We're talking about major collector and arterial roads that they're being finished up as part of that bond. So I'd be less likely to veto just to be vetoing for power or anything like that.
Okay, well, we are nearing the end here. I'm going to give, I know I said I wouldn't be keeping strict time, but I'm going to give each of you probably about 45 seconds to make a quick closing statement, just because we only have a few minutes left. And Ms. Vavrin, we'll begin with you.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I want to encourage everyone to consider running for public office in the years ahead. It's an incredible experience. We have a wonderful democratic electoral system. I want to encourage more people to run for office. It's incredible. You learn so much. And the last point, I want to wish, Philip, I want to wish you happy birthday. I can hear you laugh.
Flattery will get you everywhere. Assemblymember Halter.
Oh, thank you. And I agree with that happy birthday wish. Yeah. But, you know, I just want to say, you know, the Upper Valley, I've just really worked as hard as I could as your assembly member to, you know, I'm so thankful we have the new Talkeetna Library and Community Center. It's just such a wonderful project. I know the sewer and water is always an ongoing, difficult issue. Over in Trapper Creek, we're just doing a little addition to their community mm-hmm. center. I'm very proud of it. I can't wait for the grand opening of things like that. So the whole valley, you know, Caswell has a new fire hall thanks to Senator Dunleavy and some of those folks that funded it from the state. John Wood, I guess I would say, was an instrumental person in that. A lot of this little stuff, infrastructure, is really important to me to see our borough grow as the population grows, and we have to fund these projects. They make us better citizens. I think they bring us, projects like this bring us together and make us whole, and we can enjoy a better life. You can never live in the past. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Okay. You have to live from now into the future. And I'll say goodbye to my two mayoral candidates. This is our last debate. I just want to say I respect both of you immensely, and it's been quite a thing. I've really learned a lot in this campaign trail.
All right. Thank you, Assemblymember Halter. Mayor DeVilbiss, you'll get the last word.
Well, thank you. That is an honor all by itself. But I would just like to take the last few seconds to commend what I think is positive progress in Talkeetna. I have become very sensitive to some of the tensions between businesses, between the chamber, between the community council, and I think the meeting that you had last weekend that I think the Foraker group mm-hmm. chaired opened a dialogue and brought some common ground together that's going to help you arrive at a lot more consensus-driven decisions in the future, and I look forward to that.
All right. Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss. That's all the time we have for today on Sioux Valley Voice. My guests have been the candidates for Mat-Su Borough Mayor. If you missed part of the show or want to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast at 7 o'clock tonight, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. For KTNA, I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.